Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
So Jacob Merchant's going to bring our Bible reading today. We're in Colossians, and we were just having a discussion about which C book it was, because we were in Chronicles this morning, and he knew we were in the New Testament. It was not Corinthians, it's Colossians. And it's Colossians 1. I think we started in Colossians 2 weeks ago, and we went to Colossians 4, and now we're in Colossians 1, which is verses 15 to 23.
Thanks, Medwin. I'll be reading the title of the Bible verse is The Supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether throne or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and throughout him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace throughout his blood shed on the cross. Once you were all alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Thanks, Jacob. Fantastic for reading that. That's great. I'm going to chillax and sit down. Mark did this last week, and I actually thought it was really cool to have a seat, so I thought, I'm going to do that. If you can do that, I can do it. Although he did play hockey, so that was his excuse. Well, we are going to be just spending a little bit of time in Colossians together this evening, and then you might have noticed that we've got our communion table set up over here, and after we spend a bit of time in Colossians, we're actually going to share in a time of communion together. So just as a bit of a heads up of where we've been and what we're doing, Medwin was right when we said that we're jumping around a little bit in this book. We're doing 5 weeks in the PM service in the book of Colossians, and our theme is our extraordinary life together. That's actually not just this theme for these 5 weeks, it's our whole church theme for the year, that we want to be a people who live an extraordinary life because we serve an extraordinary God, and we want to do that together. So over this next few weeks, we're just focusing a little bit on community and what that looks like, and how we live in community with one another and in community with God. A little bit of a where we're at. I don't know about what you've experienced this last week, but one of the things that I've noticed on my social media feeds and stories of those around me is the number of people who are finishing high school at this particular point in time. Like, people are graduating high school, and my social media is just flooded with pictures of, you know, here's them in kindy, and here's their last day of year 12, and, you know, here's their ready year 9 photo, and it's a great time to kind of see people's lives in this time of graduation. And on Friday, I went to my second daughter, Emerson, her graduation at Cronulla High School. And I was really struck by a couple of things going to a year 12 graduation. A couple of things that really stuck out. The first thing is, it's about the kid. It's about the person graduating, but it's more than that. It's about them, but it's not just about them. It's not only about them. Because at most graduations, you hear a whole bunch of stuff, don't you? You get in the room and it's every parent and their grandparents, and you know, someone's got the video camera up, and you hear stories. You hear from the kids, and you hear about year nine camp and what went wrong, right? You hear from the the captains about how they all, you know, came from different schools into year seven and bonded over camp and chaos and who flipped a table in the commerce room that time. And you hear from the teaching staff about the journey that they've gone on over these years of high school. You hear from the what do you call that person that takes care of the class? You hear from like the year leader, yeah, the what?
Year advisor.
That is the word. Thank you, audience. you hear from the year advisor about how much they love journeying with these kids, and then finally the moment comes where it's not just about the collective year group; it's about the individual kid. And you see the individual kid walk across the platform and they shake the principal's hand, they get their certificate, and up on the screen is the cute kindy photo and the ready year seven photo, and then finally the year 12 photo. And everyone claps, and every kid is clapped, and every kid is celebrated. And they all wear a shirt, right, that says their name on the back and class of 24, or whatever year you graduate. It's about the kid, but it's about the kid in community. It's about the kid in their cohort. And it's about what unites them. And when you've lived through some experiences like that, and you've kind of gone to these graduations, you think about, wow, it's so interesting that each of these kids has different life, different parents, different interests, but what unites them is that they're all graduating from this one particular school, and that's the name that's on their shirt, right? That's the label they bear on this shirt, and that's the unity they experience as they head out into this world. And in some ways, Colossians is a little bit like this, because Paul has an experience a bit like me at that year 12 grad. I see all these individual kids. I don't know who they are. I'm clapping for them. I'm cheering them on. I want them to succeed. I see them as an individual. I see them as a group. And Paul is in prison in Rome writing this letter to the church in Colossae, and he sees them a little bit the same. He doesn't know them. He didn't plant this church. He doesn't know every single individual. He sees them as a collective, and he is cheering them on, and he wants them to go off into the world and make a difference and be all they can be and be encouraged. And he wants them to remember whose name they bear, whose name is on their shirt. He wants them to remember what unifies them, what brings them together, because it's not just about the individual, it's about them as a collective and as a whole. And so he writes this beautiful passage that Jacob read for us about the supremacy of God to remind them about what unifies them. Sometimes when we look at Jesus and we read the scripture, we can kind of get a bit fuzzy or a little bit used to how amazing Jesus is. Like, we can kind of be like, ah, Jesus, and not really take, not really give Jesus his due. We can kind of sometimes take Jesus for granted. And I love this passage that he writes to the church in Colossae. It actually reminds me a little bit of a story that was told about Queen Elizabeth II at her 70th anniversary of being queen. Her security guard, a guy by the name of Richard, told a story about Queen Elizabeth II, who, when she was away from London, she went on holidays to Scotland, to a place called Balmoral, right? It's the seat of the royals when they're in Scotland. And the security guard and the Queen were just walking the moors, just by themselves, you know, middle of nowhere. And these two American tourists were on a walking holiday together. And so they, you know, in the middle of the moors, the American tourists came up, and the Queen and Richard, the security guy, are just there, and they got to talking. And, you know, where are you from? Oh, we're from America. And they asked, you know, the Queen, oh, and where are you from? And she said, well, I live in London, but I have a holiday house just over the hill here. And they said, ooh, how long have you been coming? And she said, I've been coming here, ooh, since I was a very little girl, so over 80 years. And they said, oh, my goodness, "You must have seen the Queen." And they said that to her, and quick as a flash, she turned to them and said, "Well, I haven't, but Richard here sees her all the time." And they were thrilled about that Richard, and quick as a flash, they gave the Queen their camera and stood next to Richard the security guard and took a photo with Richard the security guard to tell everyone back at home. Now, you'd be pleased to know that Richard returned the favour, didn't say a thing, but said, "Oh, let's have a photo as well," and took a photo of the two American tourists and Her Majesty the Queen. And as they were walking away, the Queen said, "I'd love to be a fly on the wall when they show people back at home that photo." And I love that story because the sense of the camera is focused on the wrong person. It's focused on the wrong thing. They were there in the presence of royalty. They had Her Majesty probably wearing the cute little scarf in the Scottish Highlands right in front of them, but they didn't recognise who was in their midst. They didn't see who it was. And so they focused on the wrong thing. And so Paul, when he writes this letter, he wants to make sure that this church in Colossae are focusing in on the right thing. He wants them to be focused in on Jesus. And he writes this beautiful, beautiful scripture in Colossians, starting from verse 15, that draws the eye to Christ, that draws the eye up so that we can see who Christ is. And basically what he says in a nutshell about Jesus, he says, Jesus makes the invisible visible. Jesus makes the invisible God, who's beyond all our understanding, beyond all our experience, the God we've only heard about in Scripture, he makes that invisible, unknown to us God, visible. He says the Son, Jesus, is the image, the icon, the picture of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And church, I want to say that if Paul was writing this passage of scripture to us today and he was emailing it to us, to Gaimia Baptist Church, and he wrote this, this section would have a lot of hyperlinks in it to the Old Testament, okay? We'd be able to read this email and go click and trace all of this back to the Old Testament to hear how incredible and how amazing Jesus is, to draw our eye up to Jesus. He says he's the firstborn over all creation. In him, in Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Takes us right back to the very time of creation. Let us make man in our image. Man, male and female, he created them. Things in heaven and things on earth. This is the whole way that the Jews describe the known and the unknown world, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He says Jesus has supremacy over thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, and all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things and all things hold together. If you hit the hyperlink there, you'd probably go back to Proverbs, where it talks about wisdom in that way, and we see that Jesus is the wisdom of God here. So he talks about Jesus being the supremacy, and in this little tiny passage of scripture, there's about six little verses, and there's eight references to the word all or all things. So all the word is used like eight times in just this passage of scripture, because Paul is like saying to the church, focus in on Jesus. He is the supreme one. Don't get distracted with the things that are around you, which are the other voices of the Jews who want to take you back to not be able to know God through the Old Testament. Don't be distracted by the philosophizers that are around you that have other theologies and other ways of understanding God. He says, no, focus in on God. He is the supremacy. And then he goes on to say, not only is he above all things and supreme and at the creation and before all things, he's also, he says in verse 18, he is the head or the source or the lead of the body, the church. He is the source of the body, and the body is the church, which is us. And he says, that is who you are. You are the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. And he says to the church in Colossae, Jesus is the head. Not only is he supreme, he's the head, and you're connected to him. Not only do you have to draw your eye up to him, but you've got to stay connected, because a body without a head isn't good, my friends. It is not good. So he's saying, stay connected here. And he does this beautiful poem or hymn or song about how we should look to Jesus. And one of the things that this passage does is it describes what's known as a cruciform life. The cruciform life is a cross-shaped life. If you look at the cross up on the wall, you'll notice that it has two beams. A cross has a horizontal beam and a vertical beam. And what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae, as people who he doesn't know but he wants to encourage, he's saying to them, live a cruciform life. That vertical beam in the cross, live a life that goes from you to God. Live a life that starts with you as a people and focuses your eye up to heaven. Focus in on Jesus at the top of that. Make Jesus the center of your life. Make Jesus the focus. Make Jesus the answer. Make Jesus the thing that is the defining factor of your life. And that's what he's speaking at in this. Because he says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. And when we look at Christ, we see God. So we have a vertical way of living. But there's also another aspect to the cross, that horizontal part of a cruciform life. There's the part that goes out to one another, the horizontal aspect. And so Paul goes on to write to this church that he doesn't know and he's never been to and he's never seen. And he uses you language, but it's not just individual you, it's collective you. And he talks about that horizontal life there. And he says that God, through Jesus, was reconciling all things to himself, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He says, once you're alienated from God, you're enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. And so when Paul writes to the church, he's not writing to individuals, he's actually writing to the church. In English, we don't really have a great word for a plural of yous. A lot of our Aboriginal brothers and sisters will say you mob, and that's kind of a great socially acceptable way to say, hey, you mob. A lot of Americans in the South, they use the word y'all, but y'all can be singular. But so you can say, hey, what are y'all doing? But if you want to say everybody, they say all y'all. And so instead of like, hey, what are you doing? What are all y'all doing? And it's a plural way of referring to a group of people. But for us, as modern Christians reading this and hearing it in English, we often think about the individual aspect. But Paul's actually talking about the collective, about reconciling all people to himself. So just like that Year 12 ceremony, it is about you, but it's not just about you. It is about you, but it's not only about you. It's actually about the people of God, that horizontal aspect of the church connected to the head coming and being reconciled to Jesus. Amazing. One of the things that I've experienced this week, and I know our teenagers and our youth leaders are experiencing right now, is the very privilege that it is to be part of that community where it's all your all, where we are together living a cruciform life, coming in, not only focusing on Jesus, but also focusing on one another. At State Youth Camp, they're camped right next to Mount I Baptist Church, right next to Carringbar, right next to a bunch of other churches, and they're having time together. This last week, I was online for most of the week at a conference called the Lausanne Gathering. It was held in Korea, in South Korea, and there was 5,000 Christians on site in South Korea and 5,000 Christians online gathering at the same time in different time zones as best we could. And one of the most brilliant things about that experience is that I was for the week journeying in a Zoom room with someone from Peru, someone from Guatemala, someone from the Chicago area of America, someone from New Zealand, someone from Brazil, someone from Canberra, and someone down the road at SMBC, just at Croydon, quite locally. And I journey with these people together. And it's such a delight to be part of the body of Christ. And the experience that we had was the experience of recognizing who was in our midst, being united by whose name we bear, that we bear the name of Christ, that we have our eyes focused on him. When we look at Christ, we see Jesus. When we look at Jesus, we see God. And that is whose name we bear. That is the thing that unifies us. But also that those people that I will probably never meet in this life, somebody from Guatemala, I'm never going to meet them in this life, that I am brothers and sisters with them. And when we gather together under the Lordship of Christ, the differences don't matter as much as the unity matters. That Jesus has reconciled them to himself just as he has reconciled me to himself. And we see that so clearly, not only at camps and conferences and meeting Christians from around the world, but we see it so clearly that cruciform life, when Jesus has the Lord's Supper, that last supper he has with his disciples before he goes to the cross. He gathers his disciples in the upper room before he goes to the cross. He sends them to set up the Passover supper and gathers around a table. And he gives them that cruciform experience of what it's going to be like, that they're going to be looking to God, but also it's not just about them, it's about one another. And he reconciles people to himself. And around that table in that Lord's Supper, there's a bunch of different people. There's not people from Guatemala or Peru, but there's a zealot who wanted to kill people so that God's kingdom would flourish. There's a tax collector. There's somebody that worked with the Romans to collect tax against the Jewish people, a traitor. There's fishermen who knew nothing of the scriptures in the Old Testament. They weren't trained to be rabbis. They were just humble fishermen. There was a whole bunch of different types of people who had no business being united together in one room. But because Jesus was saying to them, live the cruciform life, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I am reconciling all people to myself. It didn't matter what their differences was. What mattered was the unity they had in Christ and whose name they bared. And so Jesus offered his body and his blood to each of those people, to each of those disciples, regardless of their difference. He offered forgiveness to them. He offered his love to them. And that's what Paul reminds the church in Colossae. He doesn't know them, but he says to them, y'all, you mob, you all were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but Jesus has reconciled all of you through Christ's physical body, through death, to present you whole in his sight. And this is the cruciform life that we live, that we focus in on Jesus, that we focus in on God. When we look at Christ, we see God, and we are part of a community, that it's about us, but it's also about more than us. One of the challenges, I think, about something like communion, when we remember the Lord's Supper and when we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, is often as Westerners, we can forget that it is about us, but it's about more than us. We can easily think, because of the world that we live in, that it's just about us as individuals. We live in a highly individualistic society. We've never been more digitally connected, but we've never been more isolated. And we've never been more obsessed with individualism as we are in our Western society today. And that comes into the church. And often when we come to communion, we can come to God as ourselves, which is fine. But sometimes we forget that not only do we come
vertically, but we also come horizontally. We come as a body to Jesus the head. We become as a saved people to the Saviour. We come as a community. The word communion, it has the word union in it. It's common union. It's about you, but it's more than about you. So what we're going to do is, like the church in Colossae did back then, their meal was a shared meal. Their communion experience was a shared meal. We're going to do something a little different. And we're going to go to the table in just a minute. And I'm going to ask you to consider your own cruciform life. To consider, have you recognised who is in your midst? Have you recognised the incredible nature of Jesus? Are you focusing in on Jesus? Or are you like those American tourists, focusing in on the wrong thing, the wrong person, the wrong situation? Has your focus shifted off Jesus? What are you capturing? What are you taking home? Is it on Jesus or is it on something else? So your vertical experience. And then I want you to think about your horizontal experience, the all you all, the you mob, the extraordinary life together. And who are you bringing now to the table? And so in a minute, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to have a moment of just quiet reflection. And we're going to have some music play. And over on the tables, there's some post-it notes and a little pencil, a little golf pencil. And I'm going to give you a bit of time to just spend some time with Jesus, to be prayerful, to reflect. And if you'd like to, I'd love to invite you to do this. When you're ready, grab a pencil and grab a post-it note, if you like, around the tables. And think about, who are you bringing to the communion table? I don't mean the person next to you, but what I mean is, who do you need to bring before the Lord in that horizontal aspect? Is there someone in your life that you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need this person to know you. Jesus, this person does not know you. Then they need you, Jesus. And if there is that, maybe you can write their name on the post-it note or their initial. Or if you don't want to write their name on it, just pop the post-it note directly on the cross. There might be somebody in your life that you need to forgive, that you need to just, you know, write down their name, that somebody that you just need to bring to the Lord and go, Lord, maybe I'm not ready to forgive this person, but I need your help here, Jesus. And you can write their name or their initial, or just take the post-it note blank as you it is. There might be somebody in your life that is going through a really difficult time, and they need to know that Jesus is above all things, that he is the image of God, that he is the head, he is the source. They need a touch of Jesus. They need to know Jesus. Maybe write their name down or their initial and pop it on the cross.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life, and pray that God blesses you today.